Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. And how is your day after Labor Day? I think so many people are going off to school here in the Northwest. I just feel like it smells like first day of school everywhere. It's the oddest feeling. You know how your memories develop as kids? And then later you just always have that kind of memory. It's reminding me of karma. We're going to talk about karma today. You have tuned in, and maybe turned into something as well. Tuned into Radiance by Design here on wonderful BBS Radio. And Radiance by Design is a call-in show. I want to talk to you today about karma and how to do meditations and ways of centering or at least taking advantage of some of the karmic information that you go through. Now, when I use the term karma, and I believe in metaphysics, we all need a glossary of some sort. So in my glossary, karma refers, it's a word that refers to an energy click between two people, kind of a magnetism between two people that might have come from knowing each other in another life or a whole bunch of other lives. And so today we're going to talk about dealing with it. Now we say to you, well, I'm 100 years old now. You know, I'm a little older than I used to be. And the good thing about that is that there's a lot of joie de vivre that comes with being older, seeing huge trauma coming up and going, oh yeah, that old thing, we've been through that. So there's kind of a softening about it. And when I look back in time, and today I'm going to speak about bits and pieces of my own life, and we're going to speak about your life and what has challenged you that you might fit in the category of soul connection or karma. I often tell people in my work, and I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, we do a lot of healing energy and so on, and I often tell people when they say, I just want to meet my soulmate, that's when I kind of giggle inside and go, yeah, right. The soulmate is sometimes somebody that you have tremendous karma with. And if you're out of sync, if you haven't cleared up, you know, your life, you've gone through such amazing, any of you listening to this have gone through such amazing, amazing twirls and whirls and relationships and experiences and so on, and are calling from that more and more of the wisdom of who you really are, the freedom of your soul to live in a proactive, not reactive reality and so on. But a soulmate, if you meet each other, and maybe you've known each other for, somebody told Bob and I, we've been traveling together for 650,000 years. It's quite a while, don't you think, Bob? And he said, we've had many lifetimes together, and yet, remember this, okay, the soul is traveling together for example, in our case, 650,000 years. And we've had, he said, and I don't know if I believe all of this because it's so literal, and I'm never quite literal, I'm a bit of a poet in my heart. But the fact that the souls have traveled together doesn't mean that you've had 650,000 years of lifetimes together. We've probably shared a terrific number of common imprints, some lives. He said that we always work when we're together, and we work very hard in this life. So I'm questioning about reframing that and put a few more giggles in. What do you think? So anyway, so the soulmate might be someone that you've traveled with and you're very, very aligned with in the soul. But the big juice comes from the fact that there's some really intense karma together. And if you'd met at a different time, when both of you have gone past certain karmic doodah, you may be just fuse as one. You may walk in a synergy that's absolutely over the top. And that's what I think a lot of us want. We want to feel the potential of fusing with someone's higher consciousness, with someone's deep cellular patterning. And not losing our identity, but losing the resistances and the struggles for ourselves. But in the karmic patterning, there's an attraction to get something done, to complete something. So if you're out of sync with your soulmate and you meet, you probably have some very intense karma. Oh, goody, we've got a caller right off the bat. You're on the air.
Hi.
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 What's your name?
Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi. As far as karma goes, would you feel that has a lot to do with what I've been processing? And I don't know if it has to do with hair loss I've been experiencing for quite some time now and can't seem to find a health remedy or and why, and just so much movement. You know, I'm still wondering where my next move will be to. It's just so much change and a lot of intense relationships coming and going, and guessing I'm moving through a lot of karma in this lifetime.
Yes, I want to say you're a wonderful caller. If I could do a little video of your internal process and just use it to illuminate my lesson here, you and I would be in business together, honey. Because you've got a very deep... Now this is what's wonderful for people at home when you're an intuitive, or some of you I know see things, but this is how I see. So Andrea, lovely Andrea, calls and... you have within your journey, are you over 40 yet?
This year I'll be.
Oh, good. Okay. Because you have within your journey a huge, if we look at the soul journey as a river or a stream moving through, and that's kind of how I'm shown it, and then I'm shown blobs of energy, which have a lot of meaning for me. I don't know why logically, I just know what they mean. And when I look at you, honey, what I see is this really deep kind of, if you look at this flow in the stream, there's this pool. And I would say the pool is in and around your belly, solar plexus, and chest area, and inflicts itself upon your frontal lobes in the brain fairly often. And I would say in that pool, you hold some very deep, ancient imprints, which you're trying to work out in this life. And that they should be getting, and so everyone at home, and Andrea, when we're working out stuff that's really in the soul journey, we can be really unfathomable to other people. We can have reactions beyond. We can have stress reactions. We can have emotional collapses and emotional outbursts. And I'm not saying you did this, but like hatreds and absolutely vehement reactions to people that don't seem to have any logical connection to what's been going on. And I feel like you're coming out of that between 36, 38, and 40 with snippets off and then snippets on again. You should be moving out of it. That's what I love about getting older. A lot of the karmic gets done.
I know, and you really hit it on the head with it. 36 on has been just intensity built from 33, and then 36 just kind of went into its own level.
Now, did you have a lot of physical things go wrong as well?
Well, just in the last year and a half, the hair loss in the last 6 months, and no doctor being able to figure out what it is, and lack of, menstruation for no good reason. Out of balance. The body's really not completely caught up with everything, I guess, energetically moving, and I was wondering how to beat the cravings of sugar and what they might sense. Is this new water treatment I found of help for the hair? Any sense they might have, and if it's more of a direction of where I might move to, I don't know.
Well, first of all, Andrea, I want to say this before we talk about a physical move. I want to talk about the internal move, because this whole lesson today, or this little talk I'm giving on the radio and you're interacting and supporting, is really about how do we get in touch with these parts of our soul journey that are actually very, very valuable, but they're a pain in the neck or a pain in the stomach or a pain in the chest or a pain in the hairdo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're also a pain in the relationship, because it would say to me that you couldn't possibly have a long-term self-sustaining relationship until you've finished a tumultuous journey through some of this deep hidden stuff. Okay, and the deep hidden stuff, the guides are showing it, is like push-pull, push-pull, push-pull at a very deep level, and it seems to it makes my body sweat. It seems like the hormones get out of whack. And that, I believe, is what's happening with the hair, that it's an extreme state of stress on a subconscious level, not on such a conscious level, that you can't even get your finger on it.
Uh-huh.
But you know what, honey? The good news is I'll bet your hair is going to start growing back soon. I would do a lot of purification of two things. One is use the water, right? And really clear out. And I know you've done several dietary things, haven't you?
Yeah, but I've got this craving. The chocolate sugar craving doesn't seem to. I'm having a hard time beating that, shaking that.
Well, the guides are saying two things. One is that you're going to have to, again, do another kind of fast and purification thing. But on the other hand, there's another kind of fasting or purification for all of us, which is a way of recognizing some of these deep, tumultuous feelings that are coming up, like mistrust, suspicion. Everybody at home, check yourself for this. Check your belly, which is full of all kinds of karmic and subconscious and unconscious stuff, reactive things. And the guides are saying to you that your cleansing and clearing has as much to do with the deep and hidden properties of very terrifying emotions as it does to clearing sugar. You see what I mean? And so you can feed the sugar. The sugar wants to be fed, and we just keep feeding it and then drive ourselves crazy. But the reality is they would like you to stop when you're about to eat the sugar and go in, even if you're going to eat it, okay? This is not a lesson on don't eat the sugar. It's saying stop, breathe, and then go way down deep inside and ask for information. Who do I hate? And I bet you'll find three people. One is yourself. And they want you to keep, they just keep saying, stop and go in and ask those questions. Who do I hate? Who am I punishing? You'll know what the questions are. One is about suspicion of people. And they're saying that those are not things that are logical, Andrea. These are things that are coming from a very deep, probably cellular and solar place, left over from some very deep and karmic or traumatic events in your past life.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes my heart pound, which tells me, because I'm an empath, it just tells me that there's a lot of trauma that's moving through your body at this time. And it's actually detached from a whole bunch of things. You might have trauma going on in your life, but nothing like the kind of life and death stuff that's trying to move through your body. And they're showing that it should be moving past and not really being, not driving you so much in a short while. Somewhere around 40, 41, you should find yourself feeling like, oh, well, that was a nightmare. I wonder what that was all about. You see? And what they really want you to do is do some fasting, cleansing, and all of that stuff, you know, but they really want you to get to the emotional roots that include terror, that are deep within your being. Now, when I say that, Andrea, don't your feet feel weird?
No.
Now, it's interesting because I watched this energy jump from your lower belly into your feet, like boom.
Wow.
And I'm going, okay, so everybody at home, when we use the body as a filing cabinet and try to access from body ticks and whirls and shrinkages and contracts and so on, we just get really obvious, because to me, even though Andrea didn't notice it, my feet really started to go nuts, and that means that's yours, because I only get it if you don't really. And the thing about that, it tells me you don't know where to go, and you don't know how to hold yourself up in the world.
Yeah.
And that is directly related to a deep subconscious holding pattern in your belly, which I'm going to call karmic. Because to me, I don't really know what karma means according to the Hindu philosophies. I just think of it as leftover energy that wants to act out in order to get transformed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense to me.
And I think you're going to be invited by some situation or another, and this is putting it right up on the surface now. In a wee while, you're going to be invited, and you're going to probably live a little bit farther south, but not that far south. That's how it looks to me today.
So but, now I am feeling sensations on my feet. And I don't usually feel a whole lot of sensations in my body.
Well, that's sensational. So I just want to say to you that you have an invitation. This is a prediction. Predictions are meant to be played with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that you want it always to stay in place, because we're all creating like mad, and we want them to be plastic, don't we? We want them to be made of movable, flexible goo. But when I see this, I say to you, the guides are saying there's someone reaching to invite you, not quite yet. And that will be a part of your mood. And then they're talking about, as that becomes available to you, that is called destiny. And they're saying it's your destiny almost to be like this. Someone reaches out gallantly and helps you out of the puddle of karmic energy that you've been working your way out of.
Mm.
And it looks very sweet to me. And that doesn't mean, oh, da-da, I'm all done, everything's just sweet, because you're actually a very deep and very dynamic soul. So you probably won't have one of those little Pollyanna worlds. But it looks like it's going to get a whole lot easier, and I see you having a full head of hair next year.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. It's just looking for ear molting so you can have a new doodah. Does that make sense?
The long phase.
From my perspective, it does look very long, very rich. And then, as the guides are saying, very valuable. And for everyone at home, when you're going through karmic things, it can feel very like you've got brain imbalances, and actually you can start working from the brain in. You know, you can start doing brain chemistry and stuff, and it'll really help. But the guides are saying today that the first thing to do is start calling up the things you're terrified about, things that make you feel... I mean, it's really goofy, isn't it, when we feel like I'm just going to die if I don't get that. It just means it's coming from such a deep, deep survival place. And and I want to tease you about your sugar. So next time you look at the sugar and you really want it to say, I'll die without it, and you'll probably start laughing. You know what I mean? It's got less of a grip if we actually look it right in the eye and see what we're doing to foment that nightmare. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to be past it soon, honey.
Thank you.
Thanks for being this wonderful illuminated call.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you have a good one.
And you too, Andrea.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was pretty excellent as far as the beginning call, because I guess what I really want to talk about is, for example, I wanted to talk about how we're hearing about having no reaction and being beyond certain things. But a lot of us know, and I'm in my 60s now, I always say I'm 100, but I'm not quite there yet, but I kind of feel that sweet place of being on a plateau after kind of scrabbling up some rather fierce cliffs. That's talking about getting through your own karma, right? So what I wanted to talk about were several people that I work with. I do really intense sessions with people. A lot of it's psychological and emotional. And I'm looking at family systems with specific people, and they're feeling like, for example, in one case, the mother and father have recently passed, and the situations were, you know, good family. But my client is a little different from the rest of her family. Just as I'm very different from the rest of my family. And many of you on the metaphysical trail are very different from the rest of your family. So in many ways, we get ousted, or we get pushed out, or we just don't belong, or we ostracize ourselves because we can't stand it, and we don't feel like we can fit. So this person was explaining how they were going through a will, a sharing of family resources. And her sister, whom she looked after for 9 years, I mean, she was 9 when her sister was born, and mom was sick, and when she was well, she'd go out and play. So this girl raised her sister for a long time, but the sister is always really angry with her and cranky with her. So we looked at it, and the guides were explaining that on a cellular level, not on a logical level and not on an obvious level, the sister absolutely hates her. And that if you said to the sister, why do you hate her? She'd probably say, I don't. That's ridiculous. Of course, she just makes things up. But we could see this like streak, very dynamic streak running through the solar plexus, the heart, and the belly area. And the guy just saying even there was a crack of it moving through the red chakra. And that hatred is coming from a very deep, deep, memory-inspired place that came from several other lifetimes. And it wasn't just a case of just saying, okay, it came from another lifetime, you killed her, that was the end of that, and now she hates you. It's like a kind of an interesting, vibrant string. that seems to have run through. And so my client is very, and my friend is very nonplussed. I don't know what's wrong. Why does she mistrust me? Why does she hate me? What do we do? And really, there's not a lot to do except drop into being in the now. If you're right in the now, right, then you start clearing the reactions. So when I drop right in the now for her, being an empath and so on, I feel the chaos in the body. You know, we're supposed to stay in the now, but a lot of us don't. I'm not always very good at that. I try. But if you drop into the now from a rather interesting tension, then you can feel a little chaos in your body for a few moments. So just keep breathing and sit there. And I'm just in the now. Great, we have another caller. Be with you in a moment and just stay in the now. Yes. And now here's another thing to do, another little trick. And then we see her. We haven't done our structures yet. And the caller, if you just wait for a few minutes, we're going to do a very fast structure today. What we're going to do also is do a structure, and we use the structure as a meditative place. We use the structure as a research lab, and we use the structure as a place for my friend to take her sister and do some healing. Okay? So now we're in the now. We're right in the center, and I want you to see above your head, perhaps 2 miles, a golden ball, and below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, a golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine, all the way through spine into the lower golden ball. And now around your waist, maybe 8 or 10 feet out in radius, a circle of golden balls. Many of you know this part, and you drop from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, a myriad of bright pink light, radiant, radiant light. And from the circle of golden balls to the lower ball, radiant, radiant streams of light. So now you're in a canopy, a tent pointing up and a tent pointing down. And it's very, very radiant pink. And I'd like you to then create a beautiful crystal ball, the outside edges of which nudge the inside edges of our canopy. Good. Can you feel the difference in the energies there? It's a good practice. And now, have yourself inside of what looks like it's a star tetrahedron. It looks kind of like a Star of David. It's three-dimensional. And then you spin and spin and spin in your Star of David or your star tetrahedron. Or you can use a double tetrahedron. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Great. And you feel your frequencies moving up. Now, I'd like to see a magical screen, each of you seeing a magical screen in front of you. And put yourself on this screen. And put this other being, whoever it is that you're, I was talking about my client, but you'll have somebody too, who you have illogical and usually irreverent responses from or to. Somebody you can't stand, you don't know why. Somebody can't stand you, you don't know why. And I want you to be both up on the screen. Spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Whilst looking at the screen. See, we're really magical. And then we call in our guides and angels and ask for help. Let's call them in and ask for help that all of this is done with the highest possible intentions, the highest consciousness, the greatest Christing. Excellent. And now ask to see in that other person what the feeling is for you. What is the feeling that you have for me? You're asking. Both of you are up on the screen now and you're spinning and part of you is over there talking to this other person. What is it that, see, I'm doing one as well. And I'll tell you about mine after, but I got in mine that this person feels like they have to keep me down or else they're going to be endangered. And now that can sound absolutely nonsensical in the context of our lives. However, so what's happening with yours? Find out what the feeling is. Find out what the feeling is between that, from that other person to you. Yeah. And get them to exaggerate it. Yeah. And it might be if you scare me, or you're going to kill me, or you have everything I want. You're going to take mine away from me, or something really sort of intensely life and death. And exaggerate that. Okay, now what we're going to do is spin while we're in that. Guides are showing now, we just take her and just spin her in a star tetrahedron or a double tetrahedron. It could be a hymn too. I'm spinning a hymn. Not a hymn for church. A hymn without an end. Yeah, just spin and spin and spin that person with love. And then spin yourself the other direction with love. Just spin and spin. Because remember, like cotton candy, this is changing the whole frequency reality of what the situation is. So both of you are spinning and spinning. It's a little like an infinity sign, isn't it? Never done it this way before, but this is what the guides are showing today. Just spin and spin. Now remember, the crucial part of this is that when you're in the structures, it really enhances the work you're doing. The other crucial part is to know what the goofy feeling is, or the deep, deep, tragic feeling coming from the other person, how they perceive you. And if we were to take longer, we would do yours as well, but I know we have a caller. So I'd like you to spin and spin and spin and have yourself spin and spin, spin the other person, spin yourself, spin the other person, spin yourself. And now move back into your star tetrahedron and spin and spin. Good. Now I want you to swish yourself out. Swish yourself out with a violet fire. Just swish yourself out with a violet fire. And I believe that this is the beginning of unhooking yourself from what is like, you know, when two people are holding on, each one is holding the end of a long rope. Then it pulls you back and forth. I believe this is a great beginning for unhooking your side of it, dropping the ping pong bat, shifting the game. So I look forward to hearing what you experienced. Hi, you're on the air. Thank you for being patient if you were.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Don. I'm actually pretty close to you. I'm in Ellensburg, Washington.
Oh, great. Well, how do you do, Don? I'm up here in Bellingham.
Our great rival, Wes, you know, Ellensburg is the home of Central. That's the our rivalry in university.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So,
yeah,
and we're at Western, right?
What?
We're near Western.
I hope. I've never been there. I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I'm an old retired guy, and
you don't sound that old.
Well, when you get past 70, maybe whatever happens. I don't know.
You know what I think, Don, is I think we have the ability to get young enough to finally leave and just fly.
I'm ready. I am ready.
Good. Don't rush. Come on now.
Anyway, I was trying to get into that meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, the sound that I'm getting from your voice, and when the fellow answered the phone, the sound coming through on my phone is very low and weak. If they could amp it up a little bit.
Oh, okay. We'll ask Don and Seth if they can raise the volume a little bit. You know what happens, Don? It very often is the difference between all of the machines that are going on here. You know, So, are you an engineer?
No, I never. One semester of engineering was all I could put up with.
Oh. Well, technology's got some weak links, but if we get telepathic enough, it won't matter.
I'm trying. Anyway, I was getting into that meditation you were doing with the other with the lady.
Good.
And there's this person that's come into my life more and more. A 50-year-old. Actually, physically and mentally disabled person.
Oh my!
And actually, I live in this big apartment house, which where a lot of elderly and disabled people are.
Mm.
But this person is not in my building, but just is in other parts of my life, and this person is desperately wanting to be somebody, longing to be loved or cared about in some important way. And it just, and it, everything that this person does just seems to be, to me, to be, you know, not everything, but a lot of it seems to be so inappropriate. I cannot get the message for myself. What, you know, what am I supposed to be, what am I supposed to, is he touching my own immaturity or what? Or my own, whatever portion of loneliness that I have, I can't get it.
What, can I have her first name?
This is a he.
Okay.
Well, if I say the name on the phone, it would be too...
Yeah, I understand
it
that.
Because it's a very unusual name, and it might get back to me.
And it doesn't matter because what I'm getting is the sense of this person. And first of all, there's a part of your nature. I have to say there is a direct mirror here, which is you're really looking for something to do with your own purpose and your own value. You know that.
Well, I'm pretty much connected into that.
Well, you've got another question rising in you. I can see it. It's rising down around your belly area and pushing in your heart. And you're connecting to a new level of who you are, a reformatting and a new way of servicing. And this person is really, really, that made me burp, which means that we've just moved something gastrointestinally. Maybe in him, I don't know, but it was really big. Anyway, this person is looking for a validation that he has an existence on the planet that is valuable at all. And you and I know that every living creature is a contributor at some level, right?
Well, it comes out in all sorts of ways from this person. Exactly. I want to be somebody important. I want to be accepted as somebody important. It comes out in these in extremely ineffective controlling, a need to control each and every situation.
Is he retarded? Is he mentally?
I wouldn't. It's mostly an emotional.
He just feels like somebody has kept a lid on him really hard, and he can't come out. And that there's something in your heart which is very gracious and loving, but sometimes we have to walk away from people where I'm not telling you to rush away from him. I am saying that sometimes we have to move away from people where we find ourselves really crushed and limited, meaning his being limited gets passed on to you. If you can turn and just radiate to him and just really respect and appreciate his existence.
I walked away this morning.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Because it was such an awkward... He made this confrontation in this big group setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to walk away.
Aww.
But the unfortunate thing is that I'm in this service position to do this group that does community service and in another setting,
mm-hmm.
like a church. And this person has come into that situation, which is very, very awkward for me.
And why is it awkward for you? Is it your fault he came in?
No, I don't know, but I mean... That's a whatever that you know. There must because I keep meeting this person again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this ongoing service situation where, like, we do outreach to homeless people and all this kind of stuff, and people in need who call in and say, "I have a need," and we have to face these situations as a group.
But isn't this interesting that? Isn't this our challenge as humanity, is like to hold the light on someone who's annoying or obnoxious or confrontive or whatever? We all have them in our lives. It's like, how come I keep attracting blah, blah, blah? But one of the things about the structures is that you can actually send a structure like that and spin and spin and spin him or just spin yourself and keep yourself from being vibrationally reactive to what he's doing. I mean, you can literally put yourselves in a container and have that container prevent you from absorbing his frequency. It's sort of interesting because you've got some big learning curve coming up, and you want that deep down in your spirit self. You're here to evolve, and you want that.
That's true.
And he's a missionary of your evolution, if you want to look at it that way, which is...
I know that, but I'm just struggling to get it. But I'll take your meditation and apply it to this ongoing relationship.
And sometime phone in and tell us when it changes for you, because I think you're going to get to a point where it's a no thing. You're just going to walk through it, and you're going to say, wow, I did that. That's good.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Many blessings. Thank you for your courage to call in.
Bye.
Bye. That's really interesting. How many of you have ever experienced somebody who drives you crazy and you really can't get away from them? Why do they drive you crazy? Because you got knots inside that they're almost meant to... I always loved Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls by Michael Newton, and he talks about the role of various souls in your life. And I'm not saying in Dawn's situation that this fellow is really that committed to Dawn's soul journey. However, when Michael Newton talks about contracts that we make with souls between lifetimes, and that sometimes the most horrible, egregious, annoying characters in our life are the ones who love us the most, but on a soul level have made a commitment to come in and rattle our cage so we don't get too self-serving, complacent, egocentric, absolutely compacted in our own fineness, you know. And he calls them affiliate souls. I have a few of those in my life. It really helps to know that the people that you're just grinding your teeth over and you have to say your prayers every single night and beg for help on that particular person is somebody who might love you more than anybody. So I was talking about my friend client and her sister and the karma that was there. The other thing that they said, the guide said the other day, yesterday when I was speaking with her, is that she and her sister share a very deep love. So that's interesting. We have to get to the place where we can find how to experience that love. And it may not be in this lifetime, but it sure be nice not to be reactive. Welcome, welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Veronica.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jonquil calling you from Scappoose, Oregon.
Hi, Jonquil. How are you? What's the weather like in Scappoose?
Sunny and bright. It's lovely.
Great. It's pretty
nice. So I'm sitting in the shade. I'm calling because I was sitting here, and that's first the question. Once you've created the ball above you and below and the canopy around you, mm-hmm. is that the structure or is it the tetrahedron that you're spinning in, or are they both considered those structures?
They're all a part of the structure, although you can use any one of those separately to really enhance either your protection or your own personal energy field. But I think you're going to find if you practice the external structure, making sure that you have the filament of light through you,
mm-hmm.
and then the crystal ball, I find there is such an amazing shift between the energy of the outside one and then the crystal ball in my body. My body shifts incredibly. And mm-hmm. then I don't know if yours does because it took me a little practice. And then you move into the star tetrahedron. They're all really significant, and they all form an energy influence that makes it very dynamic. It's an engine, Jonquil.
Right. Well, so I was doing that, and I wasn't thinking of a specific relationship, but more the question of situational, like, am I where I am in my life? Is that the karma of... my question is about where I live now and the feeling that there's a certain amount of isolation and that I've continued to do things that allow this isolation or create this isolation, and then while I'm having it, say, I don't want it, or I'd rather have relationship or community.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is that karmic, or is that some other, is it a combination of karma and some other thing?
Let's call it a combination, because I don't know if you heard this part, but I'm very clear that I don't really know what karma actually means. But to me, it means where we're drawn into, or we have to play out some kind of soul energy. So on that, if we use it that way, I'd say what you're going through during this period of your life, I would say 12 years of your life or so, that you have had to go in and really scoop out inside of yourself a very dynamic identity which you forged mostly through reaction as well as through like having a very intense, vibrant energy, you know. See, when we forge it through reaction, it's like God takes a huge baseball bat, I'm seeing metaphorically, I don't mean really, and then boom, we get pushed back so that we can rearrange our identity and not have as much reaction or interaction as we would normally have in order to recreate it from the inside out. Does that make sense? And I would say to you, the karmic part or the cellular part is that this period of your life is a period designated by your soul to really work out who Jonquil is and what are the priorities deep down inside of yourself. And that's going to shoot you out like a cannon pretty darn soon on a very different nature. If our identity, if our personality and our identity are our engine, your engine's just changed. And it's partly because you've had isolation. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you could say I reinforced for myself what my soul said I really needed to do, but I don't remember making that deal with my soul, so I keep thinking I'm being victimized by something else.
Yeah, I don't, you know, the conscious level of it is that I'll say I'm lonely, and then, you know, some level of that will say, well, then you ought to do something about that, like behave a certain way, and then that you can change that. And no behaviors. And yet, I mean, like, I could think it on that level, but it never acts out on that level. It's that level of thinking has never affected, it hasn't appeared to affect this time. It's as if the time is playing itself out, the period of life is playing itself out in, I wouldn't say in spite of me, but regardless of what I might try to affect it in some way, I almost feel as if it were a big, huge orb that I'm inside of, and I would, from time to time, push against the outside of it and think that if I did that, I might turn it on its side and roll it down the way.
Like,
I've never thought of that before, but I mean, just right now, I'm sitting here in the chair, and I can... And I'm reaching out, and I'm kind of feeling that orb that's inside that tent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you know, something says, well, maybe you could roll it over, or.
Well, just hang on one sec, because we talked about, and I love your imagery, actually. We talked about how your soul has a drive. You know, your soul's got a lot of information, and like with, I don't know if you heard our first caller, Andrea, the soul has a lot of information which kind of defies the logic of our thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite tricky to get the two in sync and in harmony.
I guess that's what I feel hasn't been there. Is that it's like asking the question into the void as opposed to, you know, or is that even possible that if you send the inquiry out there, can you get an answer if you're in sync, or is it just...
I think I would do it differently. So the purpose of the structures, for example, is like you don't know, there's a gap between what your thinking is and your rational thing is, and then this drive that keeps isolating you. As a psychic, I say, that's going to pop open in a while. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for people at home, I've known Jonquil pretty well for, what, 10, 12 years?
11 and a half or something, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be accurate. And I've always known that she was going to, that Jonquil is going to make a huge shift in consciousness in the way she lives and works and exists and so on. And to me, you're coming to the brink of that. And but the brink isn't quite there yet. And it's actually, the drive is dominated by your soul. So many things you tried, and people at home are like this as well, many things you've tried to put together appropriately with the proper thought and so on just haven't gelled for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yet in the meantime, you've had a certain kind of success. But there's a metamorphosis going on inside of you. But it's cellularly driven. And
will the structures help or somehow?
They help a lot. What they help you do is isolate from, using your word, isolate from the confusion that comes from trying to think things through and all the influences of society around you. They'll separate you from all of that. And very often when you're spinning and clearing and separating and all that, and you're looking up on the screen, you can either create little movies in which you want the futuring outcome and really feel them, or you can actually ask questions and really see what your relationship is to certain things. It'll start to appear magically on this screen. And so I know Jonquil is a wonderful, wonderful artist who's about to break open again. Like our last caller, Dawn, is about to break open. He doesn't believe me, but you watch. And what's coming up out of you is a very deep, deep cellular kind of art. So I would suggest to you to use the structures as an artistic workshop and go up there and see what the screens are going to show you about what your deeper motivations are.
Mm.
And I would even say, you know, what about my move? Or like in Andrea's case, where am I going to move? Get it up there on the screen. Get somebody, some wise person on your screen to talk to you. Just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're a very wonderful forum for getting out of your own head.
Okay.
All right?
Excellent.
I loved your call. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Isn't it wonderful that we're so magical? And I don't think we ever, on a massive level, we haven't known for a long, long time what amazingly powerful beings we are, that we can think, dream, create, visualize, and energize our way out of some of the most mind-numbing situations. We wander around thinking that we're being controlled by systems and all of that, but we really have the potential to magically move beyond that. And I wanted to talk about karma because that, those impulses that seem to grab us like a stream and run us into various people where we have almost inexplicable drama when we're doing our work, I mean, that is actually stuff that helps us clear out that soul journey that's running through us. It helps us clear it out and helps us to get detached from reactions, a life of reaction and so on. And most of us don't know. We just get blindsided and say, oh, golly, every time I go out with somebody, I get egg on my face. Every time I go out with somebody, I get my heart broken. Hello?
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 Oh, I'm on the air.
Oh, you're on the air. I didn't even know somebody was beeping through.
And I was listening to my computer, which timing was a little off, and you were still talking while you were saying hello.
Well, I just want to finish because I was still talking.
Yes, go ahead.
We have another caller. I'm going to make this short and then tell you about my next week's show and the show for Paradigm Shifters today. But I just want to say to you, if you ask yourself to really get in touch with what the deeper feelings are, you can help yourself neutralize the reactions of karma. Meaning, who do I hate? Who wants to kill me? Those really deep, horrible things. Just really don't be afraid to drop in the center, bring them up and clear them, release them, and drop into being in the now. There's a lot more to it, but that's as far as we can go today. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. I have a granddaughter who's 7 months old, and her mother's an optometrist, and she just tested her. She's extremely, I mean extremely farsighted.
Oh, wow.
So what do you see about that? Her name is Ashlyn.
Do you think she sees? I think she sees things as well.
Pardon me?
She sees things as well.
She does?
She's pretty intuitive, that girl.
That's why, you know what came to me is that maybe she's got the blurred out thing going on so that, to strengthen that part, or, you know.
I think her eyes, her mom's going to do some correction for her.
Yes.
But I believe her eyes are going to get better, but I tell you what, she's feeling very uncomfortable up around the eyes as well.
Well, they've had to put some stuff in her eyes to do the test. That may have been, or is it just more than that?
Bless her heart, I think she feels uncomfortable up around there. You know lots about healing, and I just feel like I want to put my hands on her forehead and across her eyes regularly. You know, bring the hands together.
Yeah, like we do when we're really tired, yeah.
Yeah, and also to rub the hands to generate that wonderful
energy, yeah.
Yeah, and really place them, because she's not suffering, capital S, but she's very uncomfortable.
Like she's got stuck energy up there?
Yeah, but she has some creative potential up around. You know how sometimes because of our discomforts we become better at things?
Yes.
Okay. She got some of that going on with her vision, that girl.
Oh.
So do you get to see her very much, Grandma?
I had never met her yet. I get to meet her in December.
Okay, well, you and I know, and people at home, we know that we can set up, for example, set up the structures and bring the little girl into the structures and really just see her being, her energy being breathed in and sorted out, and bring in her angels and so on. You can really do a lot of healing with her. You don't even have to have the structures for that. It's just that there's such a nice way of keeping the person in their sacred space while you do it, you know?
Yes.
Thanks, Vicki.
Oh, thank you very much.
Many blessings. Wow, that's a pretty interesting subject, eh? This little 9-month or 7-month-old baby with some visual acuity that is going to knock people's socks off later. I think she's going to be wearing glasses for quite a while, maybe 3 years or 4 years, but she'll be okay. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and I've really enjoyed talking to you. Boy, we had a bonanza of calls, very rich calls. Thank you very much. And if you'd like to have a session with me, or you'd like to email me and tell me what you'd like to hear on this show or Paradigm Shifters, my email is veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. You can phone me at 510-595-5564. And following this show is my Paradigm Shifters show, which is an interview with fascinating people who are really doing a lot to shift the collective in this beautiful shift time on our planet with humanity. And one of my favorite cohorts is Jackie Salvitti. She has ET Healing, and she runs a show every Thursday night. And she and I pre-recorded. I interviewed Jackie as my Paradigm Shifter, and part of the interview is Jackie herself and her amazing story. And the other part of the interview is the team. I'll tell you what, it's such a full and rich 1 hour or 50 minutes. Each section could have been a whole show without any problem. So if you can hang around and stay tuned to Paradigm Shifters at 5 o'clock, I think you'll really enjoy it. Jackie is also on her own show, and I'm her sidekick on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m., Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Almost forgot what it was about. At 8 o'clock on Thursday night, so tune in to that. And next week, I'm not really sure who our Paradigm Shifter is, so if you'd like to be on my email list, you'll find out, and it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and I'll keep you posted. Usually I send a little blurb once a week. I'd love your suggestions on who's a good Paradigm Shifter and what would you like to talk about on Radiance by Design. So email me. Again, this is Veronica Entwistle, and I will see you at the top of the hour. I won't see you because it's a pre-record, but I think you're going to enjoy it, and I'd love your feedback. I send out so much love and so much appreciation for each of us waking up to become a part of this great human collective that's moving to a much higher level of consciousness. And may we all learn to love and serve each other. Much love to all of you. Blessings.